Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, Florida drivers are required to maintain a personal injury policy that provides up to $10,000 of immediate medical coverage should the driver be injured in an accident. The driver should receive compensation from what is called PIP, regardless of fault, and that means it's a no-fault insurance. But is $10,000 really enough? I mean, when the law was enacted in 1970, you could buy a Corvette for $10,000. You can't touch a Corvette today for less than $80,000.
Sure you can, just not a nice one.
I'm talking a new one. Those are nice. And today, from Vaccaro Law Firm, is Charles Vaccaro, who is board-certified civil trial specialist who practice represents insurance companies as well as individuals. So he works representing plaintiffs and defendants, which makes him very unique in this industry, and regarding PIP insurance law. But first, I'd like to introduce today's legal panel. It wouldn't be a show without this gentleman, Gary Singer. Good afternoon.
Hey, Phil. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good, Gary. Glad that you're here. And I also want to introduce and welcome our newest legal panelist is Eric Yankwit.
Good to see you here, Phil, and good to be anywhere.
It's great to see you. People may remember you on the community show as well.
Yes.
You used to do that with you. Yes, great. Maybe we'll bring it back. We should. Also, I'd like to say good afternoon. Welcome to our listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM, as well as our national listeners on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now apps. Good afternoon. And on most Thursdays at 5:30, you can watch Legal News and Review production live. Also, see past productions. Just Google Facebook, Legal News and Review. We come right up. And today, we're producing at the Kelly Ustahl Building in their very own mock courtroom. If you've been severely injured from the negligence of someone else, you should have your rights protected. You should know your rights. Just go to justiceforall.com. That's justiceforall.com. You'll learn a lot of answers, a lot of questions. From the Vaccaro Law Firm is Charles Vaccaro. Likes to be called Chuck. Chuck, welcome back to Legal News and Review.
Hey, it's great to be back.
And it's great to have you back. Chuck, I'm going to ask you a hard question. You know, that's why I make the big bucks. What does a PIP lawyer do?
Well, besides waiting in court a long time to get your five-minute hearing, what a PIP lawyer does is assist the doctor or the insured, in this case, in collecting their benefits that they're required to buy under Florida law.
Right.
PIP is a mandatory coverage, personal injury protection. It's called no fault. And it applies in situations where it's an auto accident. It applies to the named insured, a resident relative of that insured's household, or people that
are... You mean like children as an example?
Children as an example.
Teenager drivers? Or?
It could apply to teenagers in the household as well. If you have a car with mom, dad, and kids in there and they get in an accident, it would apply to everybody in the car as long as they're all resident relatives of the household.
Somebody I lend my car to also?
Excuse me?
What? To somebody I lend my car, my brother-in-law comes and stays with me.
No, that's a little bit different.
I thought you said you wouldn't let him stay with you again.
It could apply. It may not apply. It also applies to the vehicle itself, but only if that person doesn't own a car themselves or live with a resident relative that owns a car that has PIP insurance already. Then if they lived alone, and they didn't own a car and you lent them their car and they got in an accident and your car is the insured vehicle on the policy, then it would apply to him.
What about to Uber drivers?
Well, Uber is a whole different story. Uber, a lot of insurance companies, especially the personal injury protection, which is the non-business PIP that we deal with mostly, mm-hmm. is they don't allow Uber drivers to be using their policy.
So you got to get a different policy.
Yeah, well, what happens a lot of times you see is that when people go and take out their application, they forget to tell the insurance company they're an Uber driver.
Right.
And then, whoops. And then when the company finds out because they got in an accident, and there's three people in the car that aren't related to them that say, yeah, that was my Uber driver. And the person says, yeah, I've been driving Uber for 10 years, but in your application that you just filled out last year, you said you didn't use your car for business because that's a standard question in every application.
I see.
You're going to have the insurance company turn around and probably rescind the policy for material misrepresentation.
So that means they don't pay.
Oh, no, they don't pay. They'll return the premium, but they won't pay. And
right.
That's a legitimate defense under Florida statutes.
Good.
So after your first doctor's appointment and the 10 grand you used up, what happens then?
Well, you walk into an emergency room. You know it's going to cost you at least.
I thought you were going to tell a joke.
$5,000.
Like a guy walks into a nursing home.
Yeah, that's right. No, in all reality, though, you walk into an ER, you know you're going to have an MRI. You know you're going to have all these things.
Well, depends on your insurance.
It's going to be like $12,000 or more.
Well, it could, yeah. And that's the downside of PIP sometimes. There's not enough. However, not everybody goes to the emergency room right away.
Not everybody
goes to the hospital right away.
Well, what happens
and you don't
when,
have
the
and
when the 10 grand runs out?
Well, then benefits are exhausted.
That's it.
There's no more PIP available.
It's so low. I mean, that's not a lot of money for someone who's hurt.
Well, it is and it isn't. And here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is the value of the services
right. And
where you're going to, and is the person actually hurt or not? Or are they hurt enough to warrant the $10,000 being spent on them? What the PIP does is it gives people, regardless of fault, because again, it's no fault insurance. So you could be the one at fault in the accident, and people that are at fault in the accident do get hurt in accidents too. You have no other avenue. Let's say you didn't have health insurance.
Okay.
You have no other avenue to get medical bills other than through the PIP, and that's one of the reasons why you see PIP still. As a viable form of insurance, because you might not be the driver, you might be the driver at fault, but then you still get your medical treatment and maybe your lost wages up to $10,000 paid for.
That I found interesting. My own insurance agent never told me that you would get that.
The wages?
Yeah, the wages.
It gets lost in the mix. Yeah. A lot of people focus on the medical bills themselves,
right.
But PIP actually is designed to pay 80% of your medical expenses up to the first $10,000, subject to if there's a deductible or not, or 60% of your lost wages. And it also covers things like, let's say you your car got into an accident, it's totaled, you got to get to your medical appointments, and you have to Uber it, or you have to pay for somebody to take you to, for hire.
Right.
It'll pay for those transportation expenses, 80%. They consider it a medical expense, and they'll pay for 80% of
but
that.
But they were
as well.
Talking about having BI, bodily injury, have about 50 or 60,000 and get rid of the PIP as well. And you said something to me of interest. I said, well, what if they raise $20,000, double from 10 to 20,000 for PIP? And you said, Phil, they'll just take the 20,000.
Well, that's what happens. The incident, there are people that are injured and that their bills clearly exceed 10,000.
Yeah.
And that happens. But I think the number of incidents that the bills actually exceed $10,000 are a lot less than what you would think.
Why is PIP always so controversial? You always hear them, it's always like a subject of dispute. Raise it, don't raise it, get rid of it. Like,
yeah.
Well,
because you have, you want the political answer or the
both.
Okay. The political answer
can
is...
Can you do it from both angles? Like pretend you're MSNBC and then pretend you're Fox?
Well, okay. If I'm Fox, it's all fake news. There is no dispute and everybody loves each other.
All right.
MSNBC...
It's Trump's fault. There you go. Next subject. No.
No. Fox no, would say it's the Democrats' fault.
There you go.
No, but the issue really is, from the political point of view, you got the hospitals who want the PIP because they don't want to wait 3 years for the person to get, to have their bodily injury claim, their personal injury claim to run through the system and get paid and what have you. On the other hand, you have some of the bigger insurance companies who want to get rid of PIP and go to strict BI because they like to, the thing about PIP that makes it unique is that, well, not unique for most insurance,
yeah.
But makes it unique in this auto sense is that aside from bodily injury claim, if you bring a PIP claim against an insurance company, you get attorney's fees.
Ah.
And that's the key right there. That's the club, that's the leverage that that the because in the BI setting itself, if you have, you know, you'll have an insurance company really playing hardball with the other side, and they can force people to take low settlements and things like that. When they do that with the PIP and try to, you know, hey, we don't think you right. have $5,000 in bills, you only should be paying $3,000. When they go to court, if they lose that, they might pay $100,000 in attorney's fees.
So it's like the bad faith club.
Well, it is. In a way, it is. It's a check, and it's a good check.
No, that makes sense. That actually explains it quite well.
I mean, and that's why
I always wondered that, because, you know, who cares? You know, 10 grand, 20 grand, BI, PIP, whatever. But, you know, this explanation of it, that it gives some power to, you know, this adhesive relationship, you know, to this partner with this, in this relationship, the injured person with very little power, now they have the threat, hey, you know, it's 10 grand, but you may have to pay my attorney a heck of a lot more than that if you don't behave well.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, and you'll see, like, because it's kind of interesting. I practice plaintiff and defendant, and I practice both on the East and West Coast of Florida. Mm-hmm. Right. West Coast, in traditionally, the attorney fee awards were small. So you tend to see a lot of the bigger insurance companies all over the West Coast writing Geico, State Farm, Allstate. They're on the West Coast. Although they have a heavy presence on the East Coast, there you see a lot of non-standard carriers also writing here, because those non-standard carriers, the smaller companies that only write locally, maybe only write policies in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, or maybe from Orlando down or what have you, a number of them have been able to actually pay the claims correctly and still make money handling the PIP right. Whereas the bigger companies, they're getting nailed with the fees, so they're kind of backing out of the East Coast.
That's interesting.
You know, why do you think, why wouldn't they just behave? Why wouldn't they just behave?
Well, and that's why those are the ones that you see
pushing.
They got
to win the case, right?
Well, they're the ones that are pushing. The funny thing is, they're the ones that are pushing to get rid of the PIP. PIP is called no fault for a reason. But there's also something else that people tend to forget. There's a no-fault threshold for bodily injury claims. In other words, you have to prove a permanent injury within a reasonable degree of medical probability to get, you know, to tap into the pain and suffering and those mm-hmm. types of damages in an auto accident. That came because you have a no-fault threshold. If you take the PIP out, that threshold's got to go too. And so then you're going to get $1 on your BI cases, and you're not going to have to – and that threshold, I've tried a lot of BI cases in the past. That threshold's a hard threshold to pass. That threshold is going to be gone. So now, you know, it's kind of like a balloon. You know, you have PIP on one end, BI on the other. If you squeeze the PIP out, the balloon on the BI cases makes are going sense. To get bigger. And I see that because I also practice in Texas, and Texas is a mandatory BI state. There, the cases that settle for, like, I'd say 10,000 there would settle for maybe 3,000 here on the BI end because of the medical bills and because of that. So, you know, no matter what you do, the insurance companies are going to have to pay their fair value.
But Chuck, while there's a variety of situations to explore, some of the most common and typical, from what I understand, is the provider is confronted with the patient treated within 14 days of the crash. What does that mean, treated within 14 days? What if it's 15 days? I mean, if I got hurt playing sports growing up, they'd say, shake it off, Bell, shake it off. You know, you don't complain until it's a real problem.
Well, that's a hypothetical, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, that was something that was added into the PIP statute. It was
that was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2013 rendition of the statute. You had to get your treatment by a certain type of doctor or provider within the initial 14-day period, or else you're not entitled to PIP benefits.
Certain would that type? Be a chiropractor, or I'm sorry,
or urgent care?
Certain type means it's got to be a doctor, either DO or an MD, a dentist of all people, a chiropractor is one of the doctors, and a hospital.
What about acupuncture?
And an emergency care person, an EMC on the site, would count as the initial care and treatment within the 14 days. If you don't get any of that, and like a lot of people will refuse EMC on the at the site of the accident.
Right.
You know, they should get it.
Would it cover paying for the ambulance ride?
Oh yes, it does. It does. And you know, not everybody gets an ambulance ride just because the EMC shows up. The EMC may not determine that they need to be transported.
So if you got hurt in a car accident and you're seen by a doctor within 14 days, but the injury that developed afterwards was not diagnosed during that 14 days,
Well, I don't see a lot of situations like that, but technically, under the statute, the subsequent care and treatment are supposed to derive from the initial services that you got within that 14-day period. For instance, if you went to the doctor or you went to the hospital right after the accident and they treated you and they treated your back and neck, and then 2 months later you're getting your arm treated, there could be an argument that that didn't derive from the initial care and treatment because you weren't getting, you know, you weren't complaining about your arm, and now you are. And if a doctor can't relate that back to the initial treatment somehow, then...
Well, if it's related back,
then it's covered,
even though it wasn't reported within the 14 days.
Yeah, no, you got to get initial care and treatment. It doesn't, and again, the statute says it's got to derive, the subsequent care and treatment has to derive from that initial treatment. But, you know, that's subject to interpretation by a doctor.
No, different question, all totally different. What about uninsured motorists? How does this interact with PIP?
Uninsured motorists is a totally different type of coverage. That's for situations where PIP is mandatory coverage. Uninsured motorists is more, even though it's your insurance, it's treated as if the person that you got into the accident with didn't have enough coverage or didn't have any coverage for bodily injury, because bodily injury is not a mandatory coverage in Florida. So that person that hits you and is responsible for the accident may not have any insurance to cover you. If you have then they kind of, even though it's your insurance and it's like a first-party insurance relationship, they kind of step into the shoes of that third party, and it's determined based on the liability of the third party how much it would cover for you. It's kind of a, you know, if they owed you that money, let's say that the person hit you only had $10,000, but your damages, your medical bills were $50,000 and you had $50,000 in UM, the UM would have to step in and act as if they were that third party. From that perspective, you have to prove, you know, that your services were permanent injury, reasonable, really necessary, all that stuff. And then they would pay the benefits in that regard.
But if I go to my doctor or I go to a hospital and I have health insurance, but I also have PIP, does that mean the PIP will be paying my health insurance or recovering?
Well, PIP is primary.
Right.
So if you go and you use health insurance or you use Medicaid or Medicare or whatever, they could put liens on the PIP.
Okay, that's what I
want
to
put liens
understand.
On the PIP. Because PIP is supposed to be primary up to the first $10,000, depending on your deductible and things like that. But, you know, assuming that there's no deductible, the first $10,000 of bills, PIP covers that. After that, your other health coverages might pick it up. Maybe the doctor treats under a letter of protection, so he waits for the third-party claim to resolve itself, and then he gets paid the balance of that. I mean, that's what can happen afterwards, but the PIP is supposed to be primary.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This is just so damn confusing, right? So how is someone, an average person who gets into a car wreck, you know, hey, I'm sick, like, oh, I'll call PIP. Hey, PIP. Like, you know, how does someone even use this? It's crazy. So you go to a doctor and it's like, hey, you know, I'll run all these tests. I'll charge your PIP. Or, I mean.
Well, most doctors that deal with auto accidents understand, because PIP is very complicated and it throws a lot of loopholes. I mean,
so they're making the claims, the doctors, not the people.
Right. Well, what happens is a lot of them take what they call assignment of benefits. They take the assignment of the insured's rights and benefits under the policy so that they present the claim to the insurance company, and if the insurance company doesn't pay, they sue as assignee of the insured.
So they're the ones hiring the attorney.
So they're the ones hiring the attorney most of the time.
Oh, okay. So that makes a lot. But how does someone who is in a wreck, you know, this is totally, you know, I'm a real estate business lawyer. It's totally outside my experience. How does someone who's in a wreck even know what doctor to go to?
Well, a lot of
you know what they call 411 pain, you know, or whatever. Not to advertise for them, but
thanks.
Only because it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know?
Well, they can. They seriously? Can, and that's probably one of the biggest issues is getting to the right doctor.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, how do you know what to do?
A lot of times, they'll call an attorney, or an attorney will contact them, which they're not supposed to do, but it happens.
So they get into a wreck. Please make a report.
Right.
And then attorneys are buying the list and sending mailers like, "Hey, you should go talk to a doctor who I happen to know."
Well, that a lot of people go to doctors by referral, or they have a family member who was in an accident who went to this doctor that their attorney sent them to. You know, and that's one thing. Some people know doctors. I
wouldn't have a clue how to do this.
I actually got a client because I was going to a friend of mine for treatment, and he happened to say, "Hey, this guy came in to me. He needs an attorney."
Yeah, no, that makes. I mean, that's referrals, obviously. But you know, I'm just thinking of my own experience. If I got into a wreck, like I would call my insurance agent. I wouldn't know who. Like,
well,
I
should make a claim on
PIP. Well, you have to call your insurance agent. Or your insurance company to notify them of the accident.
So I would always just think the insurance, kind of like workers' comp, the insurance company would be sending you to somebody, but that's not the case.
No, they don't send
you.
That's what I thought. No.
But when you're in the hospital, they ask you, so how'd you get hurt?
Well, if you're in the hospital, but what if it's not that major?
Right. Yeah. So then hopefully the doctor
Or not
is.
That immediate, excuse right. me.
Well, a lot of times, too, and to be fair to the insurance companies, too, a lot of times when you call the insurance company to report your claim, and you get the customer service rep or the adjuster, they will explain what you have available to you, and tell you, look, if you're, you know, they will tell you, or if you're hurt, you need to go to a doctor. They'll explain the coverages that are available, and they won't give you the name of a doctor, but they will tell you that. The next stage is it's up to you to pick the doctor. Some doctors will not touch an auto case, even if, you know, you're a current patient, because of all the hoops you have. PIP has created, the law itself, the statutes have created all these different hoops that doctors have to jump through and file. And
each one made by an abusive doctor, no doubt. Let's face it.
It can be.
I'm not saying the majority of them are. I'm just saying each loop they make
never be
is
treated
to
ever again.
From.
Well, they think they're fixing it, but they're basically creating a more specialized doctor that only handles PIP claims. And there's some very...
For sure.
And there's a lot of... them that are very upfront and honest. And
well,
and
let me ask you
that,
because we only have
I'm sure
3 minutes left.
There's a lot that aren't.
We really only have 3 minutes
That's
left.
Crazy.
So this is important. Who do you actually represent? Do you represent the doctor? Do you represent the injured party? Do you represent the insurance company?
I have one insurance company. It seemed like I've always had one insurance company that I've always defended. There's always been one that wanted to keep me from suing them. And I now, early on when PIP
that's
started,
why they gave you an office in their building. Okay. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And also, though, my plaintiff clients are medical providers.
So it's mostly doctors suing. Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, that's a great takeaway from the show. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, there's several different reasons for it. Back when PIP... You know, when I first started doing it, we used to have the insureds, and we used to represent the insureds directly and go after
it. Right, that's how I thought it was.
And collect for the doctors. And over time, it evolved to where doctors started taking assignment of benefits so that they would get the right to do it and collect their bills because they wanted to make sure they got paid.
In a lot of ways, I think it's better, you know, that way because it takes the pressure off of the person, right?
It does.
But in a lot of ways, I also can see doctors making a cottage business of, hey, just sue on them all.
Well, and that's the problem, too. You can have abuse like in anything else. I mean, you have good and you have bad.
If you have legal bills, and those legal bills, if they deny benefits wrongfully and so forth, is it true those legal bills could be well more than the PIP 10,000?
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, what do you mean? I'm not following. Yeah,
in other words, if you go forward on if you bring a PIP suit against an insurance company, and let's say they're denying, I mean, I had a case where they were an insurance company was denying $700 worth of bills, and they kept going back because the judges in this particular division kept changing, so they went back three times on a summary judgment. Mm-hmm. The first two denied it, the third one granted it. Huh. I made them an offer. $5,000 not to appeal a case. Went up on appeal, got reversed, and they paid me $75,000 of fees on $700.
The insurance company.
Yeah, the insurance company.
Now, but what if it goes the other way? Does the homeowner or the person who's suing, the injured person?
The doctor or the
injured. The doctor, do they have to pay fees if they lose, or is it one
way? No. Most of these cases are taken on a pure contingency basis. In other words...
So it's not reciprocal fees, though?
No, it's not reciprocal. The statute 67428 only applies
it's one way.
If you get a judgment against the insurer.
Like bad faith.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's
okay.
One way.
But you being board certified, you
would love it
require
when that happens,
the highest
by the way,
fees,
with
right?
the 75K. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you should have just taken it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I did that three times, and I won all three appeals when I did that because I was very confident I would win the appeal.
Yeah, yeah.
You're such a well-known attorney. You're very humble, but when I tell people who's coming on and so forth, oh, he's great. They know of you.
Yeah, I know. I speak both languages.
Is that because you give out shirts? I don't know.
Yeah, that too. I forgot the coffee cup.
I was going to say, oh,
what's the other language?
Should have brought him a shirt.
I brought him a shirt last time.
I haven't. I wore, actually wore a bike riding the other day. What's the other language?
It's a good shirt. No, I speak plaintiff and I speak defendant.
Oh, oh. There's a power to that. Now, all kidding aside, you know, I know we're almost running out of time, but I will want to give a shout out to that because we represent people dealing with banks. We represent some banks. We represent some people dealing with them. And when before I did that, I didn't realize the power that it gives you as an attorney to know both sides intimately on both sides. Well, it's really amazing.
It grounds you, and not only that, I mean, the benefit to my insurance company I represent is that if they present me a claim, I reverse and say, if I were the plaintiff, how would I attack this? And if I think I could attack it, I tell them this is not a good case to defend.
It takes away your confirmation bias.
But in reversing that, I know when I get a plaintiff case, I know where they're going to look for and what they're going to look for right away. And I'm up ahead of them. I'm usually ahead of them on their thinking because I know where the defense is going on this case.
Well, that Chuck, you're the man. If someone wants to get a hold of you for they have an issue with this, how would they get a hold of you?
They could call the office at 954-734-2320, or they can look up our website. It's www.vaccarolawfirm.com.
Vaccaro, V-A-C-C-A-R-O.
Correct.
Hey,
lawfirm.com. Well, we are out of time.
And I updated the website since the last time we
were on. I'll take a look. That's true. Yeah, Joe, thanks for being here. Yeah, Phil, we are out of time. I'm getting dirty looks from
our producer.
It's got
your picture on it.
Eric, and most importantly to our listeners, be safe, don't get in car accidents, and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.